live on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. A new day brings new topics. Our sports talk brings extensive debate and analysis by the host, expert contributors, and callers. We discuss it all. Join us weekdays at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. I'm excited about tonight. Two great shows ahead of us. 6 o'clock hour, we're discussing Florida high school football. And at 7 o'clock, is She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess. But in this show, I am Princess Cooper with my co-host, Duck Riley. Duck, how are you, sir?
Doing well, Princess. How about yourself?
Doing really good. Duck, I've been wanting to know that you love me, but now I know because we're talking Florida football of any sort. So this is confirmation that you do care about me. We're doing something that's not connected with West Virginia. Are you ready, Duck?
I'm speechless, but anyway. All right.
And I was speechless when you talked about the watermelon milkshake. So we are even. All right. Let's get the guys in here. Coach Fred Hicks, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Thank you, sir, for taking time to be with us tonight. Let me get in. Coach Terrence Hicks, how are you?
And I'm doing good. Thank y'all guys for having me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being on. Thank you for being on. I'm going to go ahead and ask you, too. Are your people from around the Gainesville, Florida area?
No, mine aren't. Mine from Alabama. You fall Alabama, so.
My people, we from Avon Park, Florida. It's a little towards the down south central way.
Okay. All right. I had to get that out of the way. I'm from Florida, so just wanted to make sure I didn't have to call you cuz. All right. Hey, Coach Coffee, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Doing really good. Thank you for being on. Duck Riley, that's all we have. As soon as Coach Jackson get in there, get in the system, I'll make sure and open up his mic.
Okay, no problem. I wanna start off with Terrence Hicks. Terrence, what makes Florida football popular?
Oh, that's a really good question. What makes Florida football popular? For one, I feel like it's a culture. You know, it's a way of life. A lot of people do it in Florida. So when you're a kid, you're grown up around it, like your best role models are kids that's playing at the high school. Well, we call them neighborhood heroes, like guys that you can see when you turn 30 and they're probably like 40, you still look at them as a hero because, like, I remember you when you was a kid and you was the best in Little League. And the culture down here, and the better thing is the weather, the climate. We can always do it because it's always hot out here. So we don't have limits. You know, you got a field. You're good to go. It's going to be cold probably in the morning, hot later. You can always get out here and get better. So I believe that's one thing. That's a few reasons why Florida football is one of the best. You know, it's major down here. High school, little league game, they're almost just as popular as a small college game down here. So
Okay. It's
the thing to do.
Okay. Same question, Coach Coffee.
He gave a very, very complete and answer. You're born into it here. You know, I grew up down in South Florida. I'm in the Palm Beach County area. My father was a legendary coach here in the state of Florida. And even before my father's teams did what they did, there were championship teams and, winning teams in Delray Beach, Florida, Palm Beach County, as prior to integration and so forth and so on. So, you really want to be able to stand up and say that during your time, you represented football to continue the tradition that's been established. So, like he said, the weather is always good for the most part. And you can always find, you know, growing up for myself, you can always find somebody that wanted to throw that ball around. So it's a culture. And I don't foresee it changing anytime soon.
Okay. Coach Hicks, same question.
Yes, sir. There was I don't know if they left anything on the table for me to cover, but that's pretty much it, man. I mean, we all know in certain parts of Florida, with the culture, and you know, you got the rivalries with certain your big county, your bigger your top county teams with some of the other out of county teams, like the Hillsborough County teams and Miami. You had those built-in cultures through the state championships. And I mean, even at the 7-on-7 tournaments at USF and UCF get kind of heated. If you get, based on your record the year before, what kind of pool you get put into, those games turn into championship games, and it's just 7-on-7. So, like those gentlemen said on Friday night, man, it's live, especially depending on who's playing who. And then, you have that as well as you turn around on Saturday, depending on who playing who as well on U football. I mean, that's a all-day event. And then the weather, again, I mean, you got guys that train professionally that are born and raised from here or from other states that come here and train year-round because of how well the climate is. So that's what makes Florida football unique and special and the best in the country.
Okay, Coach, just for the listeners, again, what I'd like for you to do is kind of give us a little bit of your background.
Coach, which coach?
Fred here.
Oh, okay. I'm born and raised down here. Played at Arnold High School, graduated from there. Well-known program in the state of Florida. Went on and played ball at East Carolina. Played with Chris Johnson. Everybody know 2K. They play with the Titans. Currently the head coach at Pasco High School is going into the spring of my first year. So first year is almost in the books. But man, just love giving back to the communities and the kids, and you know, growing these athletes into better young men, so that they can be great athletes on the other side, and teach them about life after football and how they can impact their community. So,
okay. Now, Coach, what made you get into coaching? Did you always know that you wanted to coach?
I guess we all, I didn't, but I did. Some of the stuff I did as a player with scouting opponents and stuff when I was in high school, I guess my dad, who played college ball at Tulane University, used to tell me all the time, man, you're doing stuff coaches do for scouting your opponent, and you're doing that at a young age. So, man, you got that, to have that in you. I didn't know nothing about it at the time, of course, and then it just kept growing from there. And, being around coaches like yourself and many others, learning, a little bit of information here and there, slowly started growing into it. And, I mean, it's probably the best thing that could ever happen for me. So, That's what got me going with knowing that I was, destined to be a coach.
All right, Terrence, same question. A little bit about your background and how did you get into coaching?
I'm born and raised in Tampa, Florida. Went to Wharton High School, and I played ball at Southeastern University. And I'm currently the head coach at Plant City High School, going into my second year right now. Had a good turnaround. We doubled our wins from the season before. Going into year two, we're looking to do a whole lot better coming up. So that's a little bit about my background. Coaching-wise, that's something that's always been in me. I feel like I've always been a natural leader. I always had a head on my shoulder to lead other people. I always got ideas. My brain works 24/7. It never turns off. They used to have a little Let It Fly tournament in Tampa football, and I was the one that used to recruit kids around the city back in the day, and I would coach the team and play on it. I forego my senior year in college so I can start coaching. It was something that I always knew I wanted to do. I got a passion for it, just leading, having a vision, and living it out. So, yeah, it's something I knew for a long time that I wanted, to answer that question.
Okay. Coach Coffey, same question.
Well, again, I grew up in Delray Beach, Florida. My father was a legendary coach here in the state of Florida. His team won the first two state championships, and they went back-to-back, and he was the second coach in the history of the state of Florida to win back-to-back state championships. I think Coach Cordy's down here, and Miami was first, and Dury Beach Carver was second. I attended Atlantic High School in Delray Beach. We, again, like I said earlier, tried to duplicate the high level of football that was played in Delray and Palm Beach County in general. We were able to make the championship game 2 years in a row, but we fell short both years. I graduated and I attended West Virginia Wesleyan College, the 4-year player there, and I was able to progress from there and had an opportunity with the Pittsburgh Steelers in camp where I met a young man by the name of David Duck Riley. And from there, I went on and had another opportunity with the New York Giants that I ended up playing in the first the year of the United States Football League in the New Jersey Generals. And again, ran into Mr. Riley down in Philadelphia. As far as coaching is concerned, I never really dreamed of coaching. I know a lot of people that know me, and particularly because of my family background, just was not something that I wanted to do. I was interested. My only love for football was playing. But then after the opportunities with the Steelers and the Giants and the USFL, I started teaching. I'm a 39-year veteran teacher here in the state of Florida. And I realized once I got back into I started coaching at Wesleyan. But when I got on the high school level, I realized that I could make an impact in the lives of my players because, of course, you know, when you have some, a lot of times, not all, not of course, you have opportunities with professional football, that gains a lot of, you get a lot of credibility with the kids, and I realized I can do the same things in the lives of those kids that people did in my life. So I've been a head coach at 3 different places. I was a head coach at Grand Central, in Belgrade, Florida for a couple of years. I was 6 years at Miami Palmetto Senior High School and 2 years at Homestead down here in Miami, Florida. So that's how my career transpired to my, and I'm really happy to say that my staff and I, we were able to advance over a little bit over 100 kids from high school to college.
Okay. Larry, are you on speaker?
No, I'm not on speaker. I'm on my headphones. You want me to go on the speaker?
No. It sounds like we're getting a lot of feedback from your headset.
Okay. Let me try. Let me get off of that and go to speaker and see if that works better.
Okay.
Gentlemen, Duck, if you're not talking, do me a favor. Yeah, I think that did it, though. He got off it. Yeah, that was it right there. Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me, Larry?
Yeah, I can hear you. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem. Okay.
Yeah, like, let me stay with you because how do, with all the changing rules and stuff and the NIL coming up, how do you guys, as a coach, how do you handle that? Especially when you're dealing with the coaches that are coming in, you have to deal with the parents.
Well, I'm currently not coaching, so I don't know if the other two gentlemen are, but I want to say this because it's based on the information that I've gotten down here in Miami. It has not been officially instituted, the NIL, but they said it's coming. I don't know how they're going to implement it. But I'm a person that came from a different era, and maybe some people that are going to listen to what I'm going to say, well, you know, you're old school. I don't feel that is the direction that's going to be beneficial to high school sports in general because of the inequities of it. But they don't know how they're going to implement it. But I've thought in terms of how it could be positive, but I think that it's going to open the doors for a lot of intrusion and a lot of I heard one of the gentlemen talk about parents and so forth and so on, and then of course you get into boosters and so forth and so on, and I'm not a big fan of the NIL, but you know, if you're going to continue to coach, you got to be able to function if you're going to do it inside of the system that is in place. But again, how they implement that, how they make it work, here in Miami-Dade is has not been established yet, but maybe some of you, maybe it may be implemented in some other places, and someone can share something with me that makes me feel a little bit more comfortable with it. But I'm not real comfortable with the NIL in high school.
Okay. Fred Hitt, how about you?
I'm right along with Coach. I try to see the, I guess, the benefits of it. But at the same time, I also know we got people doing some crazy stuff now. We won't even have the NIL in play. And I'm not going to leave that one alone. But there's a lot of crazy stuff that's going on from all over the county. So I'm not a fan of it. Unless they put some kind of parameters on it and stuff like that, maybe. But even then, we got people doing crazy stuff with no money, so with limited money. So I'm not a fan as well.
Okay, Terrence, what about you?
I'm Bill Bourne. I'm in the same boat. it hasn't been implemented down here in Florida yet, but the talk has definitely been, you know, the talk. It's coming. I'm gonna say that it's coming. I just read this article earlier with the governor. And how he is in support of it, you know. I just know how it's already difficult to deal with certain kids. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what it'll be like trying to coach a kid that make more money than you at high school. Because that's another big topic in Florida. They don't pay us. We're probably, I think, ranked the 49th state out of 50 states in the whole America of the lowest paid coaches, but yet we produce most athletes. They don't prioritize the coaches. And then, you know, the NIL come out, it's like another situation of, okay, we're not going to prioritize you coaches. It's a double-edged sword to me, man. I know some of the, like, I'm in Plant City. That's a poverty area. A lot of these kids can't benefit from it, but it's like do you really trust giving a 16-year-old this kind of money who can't even go to class right now or, you know, skipping, like, it's a lot to it, you know. It's more than just giving a kid money. At the end of the day, I feel like it's more beneficial for the street sweepers, the companies that's going to benefit from it. I don't know. It's tough to me if I had to – I see both sides. If I had to go away, I'm going to say no.
Okay. Terrence, I want to stay right with you because not only do I want to talk about that, but I want – you know, you brought up a very interesting point about the pay and – things of that nature. Not only are you not getting paid the way you guys produce athletes, but how about the money coming back to your school district? Is that, I know at our school we get all that money, but in your district, how does that work?
And when you say money coming back, in what fashion are you talking about specifically? And
the fashion I'm talking about is as far as, okay, going to the playoffs, money's from the gate, things of that nature.
Okay, this is a touchy subject. I can say that. That's why Fred laughing. That's why he's laughing, because he knows. So in Hillsborough County, we keep $0 of gate money. So we don't get no gate money, playoffs, preseason, regular season. We don't get it at all. It goes straight to the county. In the county, and if you make it to the playoffs, you get your regular stipend, what they give you. Everybody makes the same stipend. If you're an 0-10 coach or you're a 10-10 coach, the next year y'all still going to make the same money. It don't matter. It's not competitive. It's not competitive pay, I'm going to say. But you get 10% added on every playoff game you make it to. But in the same token, the county does take care of a lot of things. Like, we don't have to pay for our helmets to get reconditioned. Every 2 years we get a new uniform that we don't have to pay for and things of those natures, understood? So it's another one of the situations, you know, everything ain't going to be perfect, but it's good and bad to both sides of it.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was looking for, the pros and cons of it. Same question, Larry. I know you're not coaching right now, but you've dealt with this at the different schools that you have coached at. You're feeling on it, Larry.
Well, I think I'm glad we're still kind of talking about the NIL. like the coach was saying, there's really no shared revenue from the standpoint of coming back to the county and so forth and so on. When I was at Glade Central, just stating what I was told, you handle the gate at your school, and at Belgrade, at Glade Central, during the time that I was there and prior and post, a ticket to a Raider game was a hot commodity. So I was told, and I never touched any money. So they generated over $100,000 worth of revenue at the gate from during the 2 years, during one season, and then there happened the same thing with the next season. We never really get a part of that. Like he was saying, our supplement for coaching football in the state of Florida is a pittance. It's not really significant. But then at the same time, I think we coach. We don't really coach for the supplement. We coach because we really love it. But at the same time, if there's going to be some compensation, nobody's going to say no. Now, I think that going back to the NIL, I think the NIL, if it is implemented in a certain way, where I think the one of the biggest things is that it can replace like a booster club situation, because if you go out and you make it a corporate thing and allow these schools that let your people at your school go out and solicit, these businesses, and, they're willing to, provide finances for the school itself, not individual players. It's insane to think that you're going to have a kid, like the coach was saying earlier, making, more money than a head coach or an assistant coach on your staff. So you're going to create a lot of selfishness. You're going to create manipulation. Obviously, one of the coaches said earlier there's some things that's going on now that we're not going to talk about, but there's been stories I saw a few years back where on ESPN they did a story on gambling at the park level in Broward County. So all of these things are going to be situated and going to be brought into the fold. If NIL comes in and supports and provides, like the coach was saying, see, the helmets, the reconditioning, and the uniform, that's not happening in Dayton. You have to come up with all that. The ADs down here will turn flips if they could get something like that happening down here. So if the NIL companies, you could get corporate sponsorship, and it was added to the coffers of the teams and the schools, it takes that responsibility to offer the schools and the county. That's a positive. But when you make it an individual thing, that's going to be a problem, man. It's going to be a problem.
Okay, Fred, you hear what Terrence and Larry was talking about. My only thing is, and listening to you guys, and then he brought up something about the governor and stuff, which, it's crazy. If he's back in the NIL, he came back Black History Month. But anyway, all right, go ahead, Fred.
I've got a crazy – it's crazy because I was in Hillsborough County, of course, played there and was coaching there, before at Arnwood. So I know what Terrence is talking about. Where I'm at now in Pasco, man, it's crazy. Kind of like Terrence, I'm in a rural area. It's some impoverished people, and you got some people that's got some old money out that way too. We actually, which is crazy, we got our school money we get, from the county. So, but I also have we got a booster club, probably similar to Terrence. We got a booster club that's steering football. That was where we get all our big hitters, from the community people, because a lot of the people in the area I'm at currently in Dade City went to school or born and raised there, so they have businesses. And actually, Wilton Simpson, the head agriculture guy of the state of Florida, went to Pasco, so I've talked to him a couple times. So he's, has a lot of money and helps out with the programs at the school. But I also have a football account separate from those other two entities. So we have a lot of opportunities to fundraise where I've been at. This spring, we did a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. We're doing one through the online stuff, like selling cookies, selling stuff, whatever. And then we did fundraising with the county fair, kind of like Terrence and them do with Strawberry Festival. We got our own festival with county stuff over there too, and did some parking at the Renaissance. So I've been able to scrape up some pretty decent money, not as much as I would want to, because again, coming from where we come, coming from Hillsborough County, we don't have all those fundraising opportunities as much as Pasco. And I'm looking at it like, man, we can make a rack about, you know, about 10K if we do this right in just the springtime. But trying to change the culture with that over here, you know, that's the process I'm in now. But piggybacking off of what Coach gentleman from down south said, if there's some parameters to it, I can see it making sense. But I also think that kids shouldn't have that amount of money. I think honestly that stuff should go back at least to, if not the schools, I think definitely pay your coaches more. And I know they got a bill that we at the state, the coalition of Florida, I guess the coalition, the coaches coalition, trying to get, you know, the minimum wage thing pushed down here for us this year. That's on the bill. So we all hoping we all crossing our fingers and hoping that go through. I mean, I know it ain't gonna be a whole bunch of money, but it'd be better than where we are right now. Because, I mean, I get tired of hearing my homeboys from other places and other states about, oh yeah, man, we make business and this, and like, man, y'all not putting nobody in big time schools and, you know, ESPN games and all that, but they're making way more money than we are, so, you know. But that's how I feel about it.
Okay. I want to stay with you because we talk about the transfer portal, and the people tell me that Florida invented it, but I want you guys' opinion on that. But anyway, Fred, talk to me about the transfer portal and how would that affect you guys on the high school level, because other states are doing it, are trying to do it.
I guess we the originators, it seemed like. To be honest, man, it's been crazy because, I mean, even with the college, I mean, we all know everything starts from the bigger establishments and then trickles down. To me, I mean, y'all probably feel the same way, man. It was compete and earn your spot to get on the field. It wasn't given to you. And now, due to 707, these travel 707s, man, these kids are around a lot of colleges and things and feel entitled, like they deserve certain things and got all these stars. So you get kids, and no disrespect to any coach that does this, because I don't, never will. You got coaches lying to kids, selling kids pipe dreams, and, oh, man, I'll get you into school and all this other crazy stuff with a 2.4 GPA, a 2.3. And you got kids going, coaches, all that, you know, some of these coaches only care about the W's, and they get their W's, and these kids end up going nowhere and been given a false illusion. And now we're talking about, you know, a little deeper, we're talking about mental health and all this other stuff comes into play now because somebody promised, an adult, a grown person promised them something that they couldn't deliver on, but because they got what they needed, they wiped their hands of the kids, you know. So I'm not the way this stuff is being done, if it was done the right way, again, it wouldn't be bad, but it's really a dirty game out here right now. I mean, I ain't gonna go into stories. I know Terrence know I got stories, just like he got them too. But man, some of this stuff, back in the day, I was like, oh, no, that ain't true. Now, man, I mean, through screenshots and some other stuff, I'm like, whoa, you know. So it's a wild, wild west right now, man. It's getting worse. I just lost three of my sophomores to other schools, but they're going to all be backups. They're not even going to be the man over there. So I don't get it. The parents, they're getting the parents. These coaches getting the parents. Yeah, and that's all. I mean, it's all to the races at that point. So,
okay. Let me come to Terrence, because, you know, and just like I listened to Fred just now, how do you manage those street agents? Because I know they own those kids, especially if they think they – I'm not into the stars things, but – if they think they're a 5 or 4 star, how do you guys manage that stuff?
Street agents are, I'm just going to say it, and I hope they listen. I hope every one of them hears. Street agents are the worst people in the football world. They're the worst, because I'm going to just give you a scenario. I just want to paint a picture.
say you got street agents, a street agent played football in college. So he got that, you know, credential. He was a college football player. And say a young lady gets pregnant when she's 19 years old. She has a baby. She was just out with her friends hanging. She had a baby. She was 19. 15 years later, her son just happened to be good in football. She don't know nothing about football. This street agent going to come to her. Oh, I was a college player. Oh, he need to be doing this. He need to be doing that. Mom, now you done sold the parents. You done got this kid to move for a situation that don't benefit him at all, but it just helps the street agent. And now the real people who's accredited coaches, because it takes requirements to get to that level, they're the ones losing out and have to work extra hard just to appease a player on their team now in today's time. Fred couldn't have said it no better. It's the wild, wild west out here. I'm not a 707 guy, but I'm at every 707 tournament just to make sure my kids don't get recruited.
Wow.
Because you have street agents out here that would do that. I remember it was five, 6 years ago, you had probably 2 to 3 teams in Tampa for 707. You go out to 707 now, it's probably 30 teams. Everybody want to get them a little team. I'm finna be a Madden player, create a player in real life now, create a team. They'll buy some uniforms, go to this. I mean, people that don't have, probably couldn't, I'm going to say, probably can't pass a background test to be qualified to coach a kid. But it don't take nothing to do it in 707. All you got to do is pay the money. If you can pay the money, you can do it.
Wow.
And these are the people that all our kids are around where they're not with us during the off season. Football season, yeah, they all are. 707 season, oh, the street sweepers, oh, they go crazy. Often get this 707 on team. Oh, this kid over here. And then you get a coach at a high school or some other school, hey, man, I'll let you on my staff if you can bring some kids with you.
Okay. Wow.
I hate Larry. Dirty game. Dirty game out here, man.
Man, yes it is.
Larry, did you experience any of this, Larry?
Yeah, I had an unfortunate experience at my last high school where I had 4 kids that left my program, and they went to another program and helped. They were all Division I players, and they went to another high school here in Miami and helped them win a state championship, their first team All-State players. So you get people that are upset because they can't, like he was saying about one of the coaches, I'm not getting the names and everything squared away, but you got people from the park. You know, let's say this. Every place that I've ever been that really has a strong football background, and I get it. They want people running the football program that they know, and particularly from their community. But what happens is, and one of the coaches mentioned earlier, they don't have the credentials. So they haven't gone to, and many of them haven't graduated high school, or they don't even think about college, but they are out there on the park or they're street agents, and they have the biggest microphone because they'll go to the park and they'll blast all this information. And when people are being told what they want to hear, they're drawn to that. So, you know, people have a tendency to want to take, they look at the end result, but they don't understand the process of getting to the end result. Mm. So you're telling them what they want to hear the whole time. So, okay, you know more than what the coach is trying to, you know, do with your kids. You got to structure your program where kids got to be to school on time, be to class on time, get the books, then come to practice, and then execute and compete. They're not focused on that. So, yeah, I did have that experience. I'm not going to get into any details. And maybe some people from down here listening to the program. I'm speaking facts, so I'm not creating anything. But the facts of the matter is these street agents, the 707 stuff, it could be beneficial, but it could be very, very, very detrimental at the same time because, you know, that ties into the NIL as well. See, when you have, like one of the coaches was saying before, and probably, you know, a lot of these kids come from economically extreme backgrounds and homes. So we're trying to get that quick money. That's just like everybody playing the lotto. You know, I'm going to give you $5 to make a million. So I'm going to, you know, try to cut all of the real work out to go from what needs to be done, going through the process of being successful, as opposed to I'm going to go from the outhouse to the penthouse. So it's challenging. I really commend the coaches that are still coaching right now, that's doing it the right way. You don't get the results that you have been able to get in the past, because like the one coach was saying, he lost three players to another school, and they're going over there to be backups. So, you know, it's challenging, but, you know, you just have to continue to believe in what you believe in and do the things that you know, that are right for the kids, because ultimately they're not going to be successful. All of us have played, you know, I think on the college level and possibly even more higher. There's a process to being successful, and if you want to try to skirt that, it's going to come back to bite you, and then the results are what they are. These guys move on to the next guy. That's all they do. They move on to the next guy, and the parents, you know, and the kids are left without any kind of results. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, just listening to you talk, Larry. So, and any of you guys can answer this. Do they have to go through? Are you fingerprinted to become a coach? Background check. Does any of that happen there?
In Miami, yeah, you have to go through that process, and that's what's happening with. See, they used to allow volunteer coaches. But they eliminated that in Miami, Miami-Dade. So yeah, you do have to go through that. You have to go through the courses and so forth and so on. But then you still, you know, some of those guys can work their way through that. But then they come on to staffs with agendas and so forth and so on. Like the one coach said before, okay, if you put me on, I had a guy come to me and tell me, I can, you know, I can bring you kids, but you got to put me on your staff. I told the guy, I said, my staff is intact. The only thing I have are JV position. No, coach, I got to be on the varsity if I'm going to come. I say, well, thank you, but no thank you. So those are the kinds of things that you're faced with on a day-in and day-out basis that the general public is not aware of, or if they are, they don't really care, because all they're concerned about is game night results and my kid shining and my kid going to the next level. So,
okay. I want to come to you, Terrence. So we talk about the street agent, we talk about the NIL and all that kind of stuff. So are they getting these kids in middle school, or are they waiting till high school?
You got some pro – it's both. I'm going to say both. It's both. Some programs, you know, they go after them in middle school. Some programs feel like, hey, we're a player or two away from a state title, so we don't want no middle schooler. We want somebody that's ready right now. So, and that's why I say that's where, hey, they got this big 7-on-7 tournament out there this weekend. Hey, y'all boys, we got to hit it. We need to find that one player.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are they, is it blatant? I mean, you know,
it ain't. If you anything you search for, you're going to find. You know, like, mm-hmm. If you look for it, you'll find it. So I'm not going to say it's blatant, but if you look for it, you'll find it.
I'm going to disagree with the coach. It's blatant. Come on, man. Come on now.
Yeah, it's blatant.
Go ahead on
it's
tell
blatant.
It. Go ahead on and tell it, coach. Go ahead on and tell
they
it.
My way. Hey, they slap you in your face and take your food off the table, man.
Yes, sir, coach. It's blatant, coach. You know what time it is.
Man, it's, you know, like I said, if you look for it, you'll find it.
Oh man! All right,
like you said, Coach Riley, Florida might be at the head now. You know what? We all say that. Like, probably got other states to say that about their state, but I'll say this: I've been coaching 26 years. Coach, it's out there. Trust me.
Let me jump over here to Fred. Fred, the transfer portal is killing the high school kids. How do you tell the parents when that kid is not getting recruited? What type of conversation are you having with the parents?
I mean, I probably like Terrence has, you know, you keep learning the landscape because it's changing. Forever. It's always changing every day, learning new stuff, talking to these college coaches. But, man, I try to preach to them about the academic side, man. That's the way they, you know, kind of pushing out the kids that they really don't want. They, you know, what's your GPA, man? You know, and if the GPA doesn't meet that school, then they can kind of, you know, now that we don't have the test score stuff, they find a way to push the kid out based on, you know, the GPA. So I tell the parents, man, you know, GPA, get them exposed as much as they can to these mega camps, these one-day, you know, prospect camps and things like that, where they're not paying, you know, not these recruiting services that's trying to make them pay $1,400, $1,500 to get their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the way social media now is, especially Twitter, man, that's where these college coaches, I mean, they sit on Twitter and hitting you up, hey, man, send your prospect sheet, you know, all that kind of stuff, man, you know. And I really just try to tell the parents that it's a process. Like, where your son is at 14 is not where he's going to be at 16, you know, but he has to commit to the grind and the work. Just like, you know, the parents have these high expectations with the classroom, with studying, and, you know, that's another thing we deal with is, you know, our mom and dad, they'll pull us if we're not doing something, but these parents pull these kids if they grade drop 10 points, and it's because they didn't turn their homework in. So you got to deal with that, too, at a higher level than it ever was. And our any doctor's appointments, every time you turn around, it's the doctor's appointment. I'm sharing the phone. So it's, I mean, we're dealing with it. We're talking about the transfer portal, but shoot, we're talking about attendance sometimes, you know. So, but, yeah, no, I just try to tell the parents, you know, just – Your child's going to mature, your child's going to grow, but that's not going to happen if the child, your kid is missing workouts every day or missing school. And, you know, the attendance thing is key, too, because, you know, these coaches coming in these schools, especially where I'm at, and there's no shot at the Pasco. I'm a Hillsborough County born and raised, so you know how, Terrence, you know how I feel about it. I tell my boys all the time, I say, look, man, I'm from Hill, from the 813. We consider y'all soft over here, you know, and I tell them that every chance I can so they can get them a little pissed off. But I showed them a text message from a college coach that I played ball with. He's coaching the SMU. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, who recruits Pasco County? He's like, oh, I actually do. But, man, I don't come out there like that. It's, you know, his text was like, hey, we spot recruit out there, you know, because it's not big-time football like those other two, you know, counties, and you know, the down south and Hillsborough and Polk. So I tell the parents, like, that's another way to get, you know, your name out is by dominating when you play teams in other areas, you know, beating up on teams. Kind of you footballers, you beat up on the teams in your area, but you get outside of here, there's some different creatures on that other sideline that you ain't seen before. So I just tell the child parents to, you know, embrace the process, really, man, because everybody wants everything. It's like, like we say, microwave society. Everybody wants to, you know, punch a couple buttons, 30 seconds is done, you know, 30 minutes is done. But that's we all know developing athletes, you know, it takes some time. You know, we've experienced that ourselves. But I just tell parents to be patient. Don't listen to the two gentlemen said, you know, don't listen to the street hustlers, because they had the stadium with you. So apparently what they did didn't pay off. So don't listen to them.
All right, Terrence, you got a kid.
Yeah.
Already received a D2 offer, but he's saying, hey, coach, him and his parents saying, coach, we're gonna wait it out. What's your advice?
So they got a Division II offer, they wanna wait it out for something bigger.
Right.
I'm not gonna shoot you down. I'm not gonna shoot you down. Aim for the stars. I am gonna advise you though. They don't hold roster spots. I'm going to advise you. I'm going to tell you. I don't make your decision. You got to live with your decision.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you got a scholarship now. Oh, I think we can go bigger. Okay, cool. Da-da-da. Let me tell you my evidence on the kid. I think this about the kid. I like to shoot it somewhat straight to him, but you can't shoot it always straight to parents. Parents can't take the full truth about their kid. They can't. In this industry that I've, as long as I've been doing it, you probably can get, if it's 10 parents, you probably get one, two if you're lucky, that can take the full truth about their kid. So you find the best words to let them know that this is probably the most they're going to get. But at the end of the day, this is your decision. If you want to keep pushing, I'm not going to stop you. He may hit a growth spurt. Y'all might find a trainer to make him way better than what he is. I'm not going to stop you, but this is my expertise, what I think on the kid, me being his coach, being around him every day. And I let it go from there. And if I'm the bad guy later, I can live with that. As long as I know I gave it to you real, I can sleep at night.
Okay. Last question before Prince has come in. Larry.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Florida University football? All of a sudden, Florida State Miami have surpassed them. What's happening down there with Napa?
You know what? I haven't really, you know, growing up, when I was a kid, Florida was probably the most successful program of the other, because Miami and Florida State were struggling. Florida, it might come down to what we've been talking about. They got to get them dollars right, coach. They got to bring them ballers in there. Now, coaching them up there, or coaching two coaches that you got, they're closer to the area, so they may have a better, a closer eye on it. But you know, like I know, and everybody on this call knows that all successful coaches got one thing in common: they got ballers, and they got to get them. And if they don't get them, they're gonna continue to struggle. And they're up and down. But like I said, I haven't really followed Florida. So Florida, again, like you said, they have slipped. You know, they had their moment in time there for a while. But that might be a better question for one of the other coaches. But I want to make a statement over what a transfer portal can help in the last scenario where you got the D2 kid who's holding out for the bigger offer. Now, because of the transfer portal, you can take, you know, you might be able to say, take that at that level, and then boom, you can get out of there if you're that good and transfer out, because you can get the portal, you know, after your first year, wherever it is that you went. So that's one approach that may help. But, you know, these people, everybody's kid thinks that they're going to be going to the league. So, you know, that's a tough call. But as far as Florida's concerned, maybe one of the other coaches can better answer that for you.
Okay, Princess.
So you had to ask that question, huh? Okay. Oh. So, coaches, I want to ask you all, how many national championships in football does West Virginia have, and how many does Florida have? Okay, seriously. I'll start with you, Fred Hicks. I really want to ask a couple of things about college football now. And the first thing is, were you surprised that Nick Saban hung up his coaching hat and said, okay, that's enough? And what do you think that was about, Coach Fred Hicks?
Not surprised. Well, I say yes, I'm surprised, but then again, I say no, just because of some of the comments he made earlier in the year about, you know, how it's hard for him to connect with these kids now, because with this money in play, I mean, I think it was a couple of years, two years ago, he said something about he was turning top talent away because the first thing that they asked about was NIL money. And he's an old school guy, so, you know, he's not, you know, I mean, that's why he's probably the greatest, you know, in my opinion, in college football, probably meaning so many other circles too, but he developed his guys. I mean, you hear about all the time about how Alabama's players, when they come in, they're NFL ready because of the way that they were, you know, trained and prepared and mentored and groomed in Alabama. So, not really. So I thought he was going to give it one more year, but I think after seeing how, the year before win, and then kind of a little bit earlier, this past season was going, with some of the kids leaving and stuff. I think we all kind of saw it coming, but, you know, it's unless they get better with this stuff, man, it's going to get worse. So that's you know, that's my fear with it, is that this is just getting, I mean, we got kids jumping in the portal with no place to go just because they're mad because the coach, you know, yelled at them in the meeting.
Yeah. The same question to you, Coach Terrence Hicks. And I heard Nick Saban say in a press conference, you know, I have a guy coming to me who's third on the depth chart, but he said he needs $100,000 and he wants to know he's going to play next year and, you know, he may get in the transfer portal. He said it's become a different game. Your thoughts about Nick Saban deciding, okay, this is enough, I'm retiring?
Me personally, I didn't think it was a surprise. Just because I'm a big fan of Nick Saban, so I actually follow him a lot. One of his biggest giveaways of what it was coming was a few years ago, he started doing, like, documentaries. And I was like, Nick Saban never let anybody inside of his life. I'm like, this has to be, like, towards the end, you know? Like, so that was one thing, and I felt like the transfer portal just pushed it faster.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, I think this has been going on forever with the NIL deals. They just made it so you don't have to put it under the table anymore. And that gave some people a chance to kind of catch up to Nick, in my personal opinion.
Exactly.
I think it was just like, hey, before you could do it, you knew the best way to do it. And then, like, the cloud of your name spoke so much, like, it was Nick Saban. Like, of course I'm going to come here. I feel like he's a great coach. But when they made it legal, like, hey, man, nobody got more money than Texas, the state of Texas. Like, all them schools over there got money. And for the first time,
yeah.
Nick Saban popped off a season opener against a big team and lost it. It was Texas. And so I just feel like he just was like, man, I'm not going to be able to keep up with this game. And I made it to the college playoff this year. Let me go while I'm still somewhat on top. But I fully believe it was a NIL thing. The playing field's kind of even for Nick Saban, in my personal opinion. They kind of was like, okay, because one of my biggest mottos is it's always going to be Jimmys and Joes over X's and O's. Like, you can be the best coach in the world, but if you ain't got kids, you ain't nothing.
Yeah.
And Nick Saban always had the kids. And once that kind of got dispersed because of NIL, like, you know, like the kid Nico, the quarterback at Tennessee, he signed a Tennessee $8 million deal. You take that money out of there, I don't see no chance of him ever going to Tennessee, especially at that time. Tennessee's winning now, but when he signed, they weren't winning. But $8 million will make you do stuff. So
it'll change your mind for sure.
Yeah. So I just feel like, you know, nothing was the same no more after that. It's like, okay, the way you were winning now, like, you used to be able to, hey, look at our uniforms. Hey, look at our facilities. Okay, that's fine. What you paying me? I don't care about none of this. I can work out at the apartment gym if you give me $8 million. Like, none
that
of that matters no more. So, that's how I feel about Nick Saban.
Okay. Coach Cossie, the same question. Give me about 60 to 90 seconds because we want to try to squeeze in another one.
Okay.
But
I think, too, that
Alabama at one time, Coach Cossie had 11 5-stars. I know Duck doesn't believe in the stars, and there's a lot of me that doesn't either. But, you know, there have been times where you've had teams with 11 5-stars. At least 8 or 9 of those are going to pan out as NFL roster guys, and that held to be true. Your thoughts about Nick Saban?
Well, I think the landscape changed on Coach, and I think what happened with Coach as well is that he went to building his program from the ground up, and he outworked everybody, obviously being able to bring in coaches, but more like the coaches have said, like I said earlier, the players. And now what happened was a shortcut was implemented that caught him by the blind side with this NIL. And, you know, as much money as Alabama has, like Coach said, Texas, yeah, SMU got more money than anybody. And who is SMU? So the process of being successful got caught up to him. And I think the fact that the way he coaches, I think I have his book. I'm not big on reading people's books, but I read most of it. He really seems to coach the person as well as the player and is involved and so forth. And I think when you think in terms of the coaches, you know, when they got to the championship game last year, maybe not really believing, especially when they started at the beginning of the year, that was a possibility. You now have to go back through that whole process and then of starting over to get there again. That's a tough, and he's getting a little older. So I think all of those things kind of played a point in him making the decision that he made. Great coach, the best that I've ever seen on the college level.
Okay. So my last question is, and make no mistake, I was born and raised in Gainesville, Florida, graduated from the University of Florida. So this question is just because I want to know. Was it a travesty, Coach Fred Hicks, for FSU and the Seminoles to be left out of the Final Four, the college football playoff?
Yeah, that was – I mean, we all know why that happened, that injury to their quarterback. Was mm-hmm. a big blow.
And I don't think the playoff system wanted to see another TCU, because TCU lost, what, 63-7? I don't think they wanted to see that, and maybe they suffered for that. But I'm sorry, I interrupt you. Go ahead and finish, Coach Hicks.
It wasn't surprising. After the injury, everybody kind of knew. But, you know, the whole debate was, you know, hey, those guys won out like they were supposed to and did what they were supposed to, and, you know, and that, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, we all know what they were trying to do and wanted to see. So it wasn't a big surprise. It wasn't a big surprise.
Okay. Karen, take your thoughts about that. it was.
I felt like it was a two-way side. Talking to me a lot, you will see I always look at things from both angles. But I feel like it was a two-way thing. If you was going with fairness, it was messed up. If you was going with realization, it was two games that we seen without him, and they weren't the same team. And if it's about the four best teams, they wasn't one of the four best teams.
Yeah.
It was just a situation of how you looking at it. Like, hey, man, we went 13-0. I get that. That was 13-0 with the quarterback. You know, like, y'all beat Louisville by 4 points, but none of y'all scored. And I don't know. I had two different feelings about it. They went 13-0, but let's be real, they weren't. I don't think they was almost probably not a top 10 team no more at that point without old boy.
Exactly. It was a tough break, but I think it definitely came down to the quarterback was gone. And I think in the Louisville game, they were down to their third-string quarterback. You know, but they said the other guy would be healthy if they got to the playoffs. Coach Coffey, your thoughts?
I'm probably going to rock the boat here a little bit. Even with the quarterback, I didn't think that Florida State was one of the top four teams. I know they went 13-0. But then when you watch them play against, I know, and I'm a Florida State. I'm a Miami, Florida State, Florida guy. But if one of the Florida teams has a chance to win, I'm going to support them. But I just never thought Florida State, even with him, was their team on the rise. They made a big increase in their performance and achievement and so forth. But I just didn't think that even with him, they were a top four team. Then number two, when he gets hurt, they certainly. We're not one of the top four teams in the country, in my opinion. So, you know, when you have a system in place where you have people with a committee that can make decisions, and it was within their bylaws that they could do that, they took the opportunity, they did it, and that's what transpired. But, you know, with the addition of the new teams and so forth and so on, you know, it'll make it a little bit better. But I'm a believer that eventually down the line that college football is going to do the same thing as the lower division teams. I think they're going to divide this country up. They need to put them in divisions. All of us are athletes and competitors. You want to earn your right on the field, not a group of people sitting back talking about, I think this and I think that. To me, you earn on the field, you make it. If you show up on Saturday and win, and you win enough, you get in. If not, you stay home. So that's my take on it.
Coach Fred Hicks and Coach Terrence Hicks, thank you so much. Coach Coffey, thank you so much. And you have a special place in my heart because you didn't like Florida State all year. Neither did I. Go Gators. So, gentlemen, it was really awesome having you on. We got to get you back once college football starts. Duck, you want the last word here? Go Gators, Duck.
I appreciate. Don't make me throw up. But anyway, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, good brothers, man. Look forward to seeing you guys again, man. And Princess will get you back on so we can talk a little college football.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. All right. All right. Thank you. We're going to get out of the way now. Never Had a So Good Sports Radio. We're going to get out of the way for She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess. We're going to talk some NBA tonight and play in game. We'll see you then. Get ready for the top of the hour. Bye, Duck. Bye, guys.
All right.